I should be happier, say. Should I break down and cry? Or should I smile and be glad? I love you. But we just can't get along. Would leaving you be right? It's hard to walk away, yeah, yeah, yeah. And God knows it ain't easy to stay when there's too little in common to be lovers. And there's too much going. Physically we're together, but mentally we're apart. The fussing and fighting starts as soon as the lovemaking stops. If you were me, tell me what would you do? Too difficult to understand, and far too precious to lose. Would you hang on in there and try to make the best of it? Or would you throw up both of your hands? And there's too much going. Oh, to say goodbye, I can't say bye. I can't say bye, baby, no, no. To be lover. And there's too much going. Too much going. I don't want you to cry. How can you love me so good, so good, and turn around and make me feel so bad, baby? How can you make me so happy and turn right around and make me feel so sad?
Sad, baby.
Oh, oh, oh. I don't know what to do. No, 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 no. I know I love you.
to be lovers. Well, well. And there's too much going, going.
There we go. There's the first track from tonight's featured LP from Randy Brown, and that was his 1978 solo debut solo LP, Welcome to My Room, with a track called We Got Too Much in Common. And on the phone now, I've got Randy Brown, live from Memphis, Tennessee. Randy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for, featuring my music. I really appreciate that, and I've always had a wonderful time in the UK each time I perform there. So
lovely. Well, I've got three of your albums, and there's not a bad track on any of them. They're always very well received whenever I go to venues, to discos, if you like, or soul events, should I say. So, welcome to the UK. I mean, tell me how it started for you, Randy. Is it gospel? Have you got gospel roots, or was it through school?
Well, no, it was like a talent show at school. That's how I actually got started. And I would perform at different talent shows. And, first of all, my brother was actually singing, and that's what sparked my interest in the whole situation. William Brown,
right.
He was a member of the original Mad Lads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started dibbling and dabbling in it, when people, saying, well, hey, you do pretty good, you need to keep on. So that's when I started getting, somewhat serious about it.
Lovely.
And then as I move on up through high school, they had the big talent shows that were downtown at the auditorium. It was like citywide. And I would perform in that and really got the crowds going and everything. And that's when I started really getting serious about it, about recording. Then I wanted to get my own records going and everything. And well, my brother, my younger brother, Bertram Brown, that sang with Quick, he also wanted to sing. So we actually got together as a group, and a producer at Stax heard us and wanted to try to record and get something out. So we auditioned for him, and his name is Alan Jones. He ended up producing our material and also the Barcades.
All right.
He was the Barcades, actually, Barcades manager,
mm-hmm.
and producer. And we did some writing that was with Dini Parker and Betty Crutcher.
All right.
They actually start tutoring us and so-called grooming, I would say, to get us recording ready, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And your brother and yourself formed half of Stax Outfit, the newcomers then?
Yeah, my brother and I were in the same group. We were with the newcomers, the original members. And so it was Homer Garrett and Carol Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
We were the four that actually started everything out. That was Pin the Tail on the Donkey and Manage Boy.
Yeah.
So we went in and recorded it, and then it was released. I don't know if it was just Truth Label or Vote Label.
Which track?
It was what?
Which track? Open Up Your Heart?
Pin the Tail on the Donkey.
Right.
And we had Girl This Boy Loves You.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Open Up Your Heart.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else?
It must have been a really exciting time to have been at Stax in sort of like 1969 to sort of 73, 74, because it was really top of its game, wasn't it? Stax as an outlet for Southern Soul, it was up there.
It was. I mean, they actually broke into the market, which, you know, with the larger acts that they had, you know, Isaac Hayes and Johnny Taylor,
mm-hmm.
Otis Redding and yeah. Carla Thomas, and so Rufus Thomas. So you had those acts was actually carrying the banner.
Yeah.
And, we kind of eased in there, hoping to get a break, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that. And then we were excited. You know, we young guys and everything. And we were just excited to have a record on the radio.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, yeah. Yeah, something that we didn't even, never thought that would happen, but it did. And, you know, we feel good just by that. Not knowing the business part of it, that was going on, you know, that takes everything afloat, keep everything going. And so, you know, Stax had run into different difficulties.
A bit of trouble, yes.
Yeah, changing ownerships and everything, trying to keep it going. And I think at some point in time, they just couldn't keep the doors open there.
Yeah, I think they got a high turnover of management staff, hadn't they? And it was just in complete disarray from what I've been reading in the history books, so to speak. And 1974, yeah. Stax closed, didn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's when Stax actually shut the doors.
Yeah.
And to me, it was a short-lived success.
But it must have been a great time rubbing shoulders with your boyhood heroes, though, the people like Rufus Thomas and Otis Redding and Carla Thomas. And
I used to see those. Matter of fact, my brother and I, we live right down the street from Stax.
Oh, great.
So we could actually walk, you know, we could walk to the studio every day.
Lovely.
And so
when Stax closed and you found yourself to be out of work then, you nipped off to New York. You took some material to New York, to Mainstream Records.
Well, it started writing with David Witherspoon and Carl Smith, which actually Carl wrote... Frontello Bass, Rescue Me.
All right.
And he wrote, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he wrote Higher and Higher
For Jackie Wilson.
For Jackie Wilson.
Wow.
And so Carl Smith wanted to actually, after Alan Jones had taken over the Bar Case,
mm-hmm.
he focused his attention on them because their careers were still going.
Yeah.
And Carl Smith stepped in and wanted to, you know, maintain, you know, doing things with the group. And somehow our group disbanded. And I was with David Witherspoon, which is a writer.
Yeah.
And David worked with Eddie Floyd a lot. And so... what happened was, the Nine Chains label, it was two attorneys that Carl had taken, It Ain't Like It Used To Be.
Right, that was Nine Chains, wasn't it, that label?
Yeah, Nine Chains.
Wow.
And they liked it and wanted to get this, get everything out. And Carl actually had taken fallen ill, and he had other things going on and stuff. And so the record was released and had the problem. These particular guys wanted to manage and everything, and the deal wasn't set right, so we didn't follow through with that. And that's how I just came actually available.
Yeah.
But mind you, before I left Stax, I was I did a few singles with my older brother William Brown that produced some songs now that's on that Randy album.
Yeah.
That Fantasy record
brought out in 1981.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well. We had recorded everything while we were at Stax, and they put it on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
So when Stax actually sold the company to Fantasy, or Fantasy Bottom,
yeah.
Well, they bought the masters also.
Uh-huh.
So that was unreleased product until when they purchased everything. Then they actually went in and remixed it, and they comprised an album out of that.
Mm-hmm. And released that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's how that came to be, because that was, like I say, at that time I was actually recording stuff. My brother was the engineer also, William Brown.
Right.
You know, he did the stuff for Shaft, for Isaac Hayes.
Wow.
And he really was into engineering more so than dealing with the Mad Lads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like a little dabbling here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was bounced around here and there just trying to navigate my way.
Mm-hmm. But you ended up at Parachute Records. I want to talk about that in a moment, because now I want to go on to the second selection from tonight's featured LP, which is your first release on Parachute Records. We had Too Little in Common to start off this little chat just before I brought you in, and now this next track is I Want to Make Love to You. Tell me about that. Do you remember recording?
Well, we recorded at A&M Records, A&M Studios that we use. Because Homer Banks and Carl Hampton were actually writers for that production company. They had their production company in the A&M building. And so we used A&M Studios to record that. And Carl Hampton, we actually did this whole Welcome to My Room live. We rehearsed all of the material. And when we actually went in the studio, we set it up, had the different color lights in the studio and everything. And we set it up just like a nightclub. And once we recorded, we started recording, that was it. The mics were turned on, and we just started recording. And nonstop, and just had a good party feel in the studio. And, of course, you know, when they remixed it and everything, and had to get all the noise and stuff out of it, but it was, that's how that came about. We had worked it up, that whole, I think it was 8 songs.
Yeah. How long?
Oh, man. I think we recorded Welcome to My Room. It took about a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you must have had a vibe going. You must have had a vibe going. Anyway, I want to play this next track, please. I Want to Make Love to You, Randy Brown.
Right.
Brilliant. And I'll talk to you in just a moment.
All right.
Get down. I wanna make love to you.
Just
Snuggle track that one is. I Love Your Baby, Randy Brown. 6.5 minutes of fire on, lights down, music up high and snuggle. Beautiful. Great track. That's the third selection from tonight's featured LP, which has been your eponymous album. Not eponymous, sorry, your debut album. Welcome to My Room, Randy Brown, live on the phone. Track. There's a single release from the LP then, and well, actually it was the B-side to I'd Rather Hurt Myself Than to Hurt You. That's I'm Always in the Mood, the fourth track from tonight's featured LP from Randy Brown, and welcome to my room. Randy's on the phone with me. Randy, hello.
Hello, Ailey, how are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks so much for joining us, and for staying on the phone so long. It's usually only a 15-minute interview, but I'm just caught up in the whirlwind, so it's great talking to you.
So, my pleasure.
We left off just before the news with you, stacks had folded and you became a free agent. So how did you end up going across the other side of the States, going across to Los Angeles? How did that happen?
Well, Homer Banks and Carl Hampton actually got a deal with A&M Records as a production deal. And they actually wrote for Edwin Starr.
Yeah. Well, Edwin Starr used to live near us, you know, about 12, 15 miles up the road.
Yeah. I
in Nottinghamshire.
I think it's Show and Tell that they wrote songs for him. And actually, Homer Banks and Carl Hampton called me to come out there to try out some songs they had written, mm-hmm. which ended up being Welcome to My Room. So they had written these songs, and they was looking for actually somebody to sing them. And that time, they flew me out there. I did it, and I ended up staying out there for like 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did it compare to Memphis then? Los Angeles is a huge place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great difference between night and day. Los Angeles is beautiful. The weather is beautiful year round. I mean, I can go to the beach in the morning, and I can dry off and go up in the mountains in the snow.
Wow!
Yeah, in the same day.
Crikey!
And I mean, I think it was a nice 70-ish some degrees, maybe 75 mm-hmm. degrees every day. No humidity.
Lovely.
And you had a breeze, you know, off the oceans yeah. and everything. Oh, man, it's nice. And at night, it would get cold. You could wear your winter apparel.
All right. It's always winter in England. It's either a big coat or a little coat, but you're still wearing a coat. So you ended up on Parachute Records, which was a subsidiary of Casablanca.
Okay. They were shopping Welcome to My Room.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Bogart, which is Humphrey Bogart's nephew.
All right.
Was actually owner of Casablanca Records. And Neil heard the Welcome to My Room album and fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And that ended up on Parachute. He said, I've never listened to a record over four times.
Wow.
And he was, at that time, he was really stuck on I Love You, Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he played it over and over again. I got a chance to meet the man before he passed.
Yeah.
A great guy. Then Russ Regan was actually over Parachute Records. and they welcomed me in and everything. The problem with Welcome to My Room was that when the album was released, it was released right when disco was really started to boom.
Yeah, yeah. Because you got and Donna Summer on the Casablanca label and Barry White and people like that, hadn't you? So,
Yeah, got caught up in that. And that's what happened, I think. It was the timing.
Yeah.
The timing thing. And it's amazing. They're still playing Welcome to My Room across the United States now, because I've done about 5 or 6 concerts in Miami within the last, 2 years.
Lovely. Lovely. I mean, it's a great album full of great tracks, so it definitely stands the test of time. So, yeah, I'm surprised you're not in more demand, to be honest. But, again, it must have been exciting at Parachute to be a part of that Casablanca label along with Chocolate City and rubbing shoulders with people like Willie Clayton, Seventh Wonder, and Sidney Barnes. I had good fortune to spend time with Sidney Barnes last year. What a lovely man. Did you ever get to meet him?
No. I met Willie Clayton.
Yeah.
You know, they're in Jackson, Mississippi, whatever, that's where Malico Records is.
Right.
And that's maybe about 3 hours from here, south of Memphis. But those guys were, Willie was, you know, was down there recording and everything. I got a chance to meet him when he came. My brother knew him real well.
Right.
That's where I got a chance to actually meet Willie Clayton, and I met his manager. That's a singing man, I'm telling you. He's very talented, and he's still performing, but if I can move forward just a little bit, I don't want to get you out of sync of what you're doing, but I was presented when Homer Banks and Carl Hampton moved back to Memphis from L.A. They had a song. Well, Carl Hampton wasn't with Homer at the time. They had actually went their separate ways. But Homer started Soundtown Records.
Right.
And he presented me with a song. He say, "Man, I know this song is a hit." He said, "Let me play it for you and see if you like it, and you go on and record it." And it was Taxi.
Oh, right. Yes, that was... Frank Dell's
Jay Blackfoot.
Yeah, he did the original. That's right. Yes, you're right.
And so he played the song, and I said, "Well, Homer, I know the song is a hit." I say, "You know, but what it's going to do is going to put me in a blues category, and that's something I don't want to be labeled as a blues artist, because that all the shows that I'm going to be doing is going to be with the blues act."
Yeah.
And I just really love the R&B. And that's how, and I told him, I said, "I know somebody that can sing this song."
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Jay Blackfoot wasn't doing anything. I told him about it. I said, "Man, they have a song for you. And I think that it'll be a hit on you." Jay Blackfoot recorded a song and never looked back at that point as far as that, because it was a million seller.
Yeah, it's a lovely track. So I've got it by Frank Dell on his Two Faces of Frank Dell LP. Lovely record.
Yeah, I mean, and so that's how I kind of stayed out of the blues realm and stuck with the R&B. Because, you know, R&B is, it's not like it used to be. Not today. It's not like that.
No.
They call it R&B. It's something else. I don't know what this stuff is.
Well, I suppose it's evolved, hasn't it? I mean, Don't know.
I like the real songs, and I just like, without the blues just seem to actually bring me down. I don't know, some people just love it, but I mean, I like all music, but I really prefer the R&B feel.
Yeah.
You know, I really do.
It's got to be feel good, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it does. I mean, the chords and the different changes and just the music itself. It's nothing down about it, and they had real stories there to tell, short stories.
Mm-hmm.
And my job was to actually bring them to light.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what my focus was really on, to try to bring everything to light, to paint the picture.
Lovely. As an artist, of course.
Yeah, you know, paint the picture for for your audience.
Of course, and, you create the ambiance, don't you? You got to get it to transferring a message.
Yeah, and you got, what, 2 or 3 verses to try to do it in.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tricky, but and no, I really love that.
Good. You know. So Parachute as a label, then that finished in 1979, and you transferred across to the sister label, Chocolate City.
Yeah, Chocolate City. I'm trying to see what did I have. I had
you had Midnight Desire LP on there, and your eponymous LP, Randy.
Yeah, Midnight Desire. That's my favorite track on there is Crazy About Your Baby.
All right, lovely.
You know, that's one of my favorite all time songs. It was just something I don't know. I just really felt that I really liked it.
Again, but, there's not a bad track on that LP, and but the track that really catches people's attention in the UK that people go crazy for is Things That I Could Do To You, and I want to play that in just a moment.
Okay, that's a good one.
But first, can I ask you, where's Randy Brown now? You record, you say you're doing some appearances. Have you got any plans to come to the UK?
I do spot dates, and right now, like I spoke one year earlier that Richard Sterling and Andy
Taylor.
Also getting ready to do some things in Spain.
Uh-huh.
And so they're in the midst of getting all this together, and my thing is that I want to do several dates in the UK while I'm there.
Yeah.
You know. So that's what they're working on now. I didn't want to just fly over for one date.
Oh, no, of course not. No, no.
I want to do several dates. You know, I was with the first time I was there, I was with Barry Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry Collins, that's when I released Are You Lonely?
Right.
And I recorded Are You Lonely in the UK. And Bertram, my brother, and I wrote 2 more songs, and we had like a 78, like a mini LP out.
All right, yes, I see.
And had 3 songs on it. And, well, we wrote 2 of them, and Are You Lonely is a cover tune that we did. And we recorded those. And matter of fact, while I was there, they released them on the air, and I got a chance to do them on stage.
Lovely.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just that quick, and I said, man, you know, I wish everybody would move that fast, you know. why you hold it up, get everything in place, get it out, and let it fly.
Lovely. Yeah. So, in the last few years, is there anything that you've been working on that's perhaps unreleased that we might be able to look forward to? Do you have any bits up your sleeve?
No, the only thing I have was... Now, we got material that we're actually working on.
Mm-hmm.
Bertram and I working on writing material now. And once I can actually settle this project, the Anthony Lockett material, we'll probably more than likely go back into the studio over at Boo Mitchell's.
Right.
Willie Mitchell's studio.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, they did... Bruno Mars at the studio.
All right, yeah.
That's where he recorded. Bonnie Raitt, she records over there. But so that studio has new life, and that's where we'll probably be going.
Lovely.
To when we get all this together to go there and record the new stuff.
Lovely. Really look forward to hearing some new stuff as and when you manage to put it out. And hopefully it'll come out in the UK very soon. Randy, thanks so much for giving us your time today. I really appreciate it. Meant to have been 15 minutes. We've been talking for 50. And it's just flown by. So thank you very much. And I'd like to play out with that track I was talking about. My favourite track off your Midnight Desire LP, Things That I Could Do To You.
Thank you, Eddie Crampton. I thank you.
You're very, very welcome. It's been all my pleasure. Talk to you again very, very soon.
I look forward to seeing you also when I get to the UK.
Great. Goodbye.
Yeah. All right.
Is Randy Brown with a modern soul anthem, Things That I Could Do To You, taken from his 1980 Midnight Desire LP. What a lovely man, what a great chat. That 50 minutes just flew by, and I thank him very much for giving us his time.